Scientist.
Thank you.
is on, brother.
Yeah. So when I'm going to read my own scripture. Yeah. So I'm going to read it with the lapel. Just yeah. So you know. Okay.
Well, who's going to take this one? Pastor will have this, right?
Yeah, Pastor's going to have that.
It's on already, though. Stuff for the ladies. They want to see the...
All right, good morning. Welcome to the second day of the Next Generation Youth Rally, the morning session. Let's take our songbooks and go to page number 409. We're going to sing The Fight Is On. 409, The Fight Is On. Sing it out on the first. The fight is on, the chin soldier. I'm sorry. This is not... Do I have it on the right page? Okay, 409. Are you guys on 409? I'm on 409. All right, let's do it again. The fight is on. No, this is not the right song. Okay, what song do you have? Yeah, what number is it? Yeah, no, okay, let's do it again. One more time. On the first. The fight is on. The trumpet sound is ringing out the... Is harder, far and near. The Lord of hosts is marching on to victory. The triumph of the Christ will soon appear. The fight is on, O Christian soldier, and face to face in stern array. With armor gleaming and color streaming, the riding long engaged today. The fight is on, but be not weary. Be strong and in His might hold fast. If God be for us, His banner o'er us, We'll sing the victor's song. All right, 409. I have the right song, and he's playing the right song, and I'm thinking of a different song. So don't try to do this on very little sleep, all right? But let's sing it out on the second. The fight is on the second verse. The fight is on. Arouse ye soldiers, brave and true. Jehovah leads, and victory will assure. Go buckle on the armor God has given you, and in his strength forever will endure. The fight is on, O Christian soldier, in stern array, with armor gleaming and color streaming, the right and wrong engage today. The fight is on, but be not weary. Be strong and in his might hold fast. If God be for us, his banner o'er us, we'll sing the victor's song at last. All right, good. On the last, the fight is leading on to certain victory. The mispans the eastern sky, his glorious name in every land shall honored be. The morn will break, the dawn of peace is nigh. The fight is on, O Christian soldier, with color steam and color streaming, the right and wrong engage today. The fight is on, but be not weary. Be strong and in his might hold fast. If God be for us, his banner o'er us, victor's song at last. Amen. All right, well, let's begin with a word of prayer this morning. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for today. We thank you for everybody that's here, these young people, Lord. We thank you for the great day that we had yesterday and the sermons that were preached, Lord, the sermons in the morning and the evening session. And Lord, we pray that you would bless today as well as we hear from your word and have another day of activities and fun. We pray that you would use this time to speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, well, let's take our songbooks for the second song this morning. We'll go to 413. 413, stand up for Jesus, you soldiers of the cross. 413, sing it out on the first. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, army shall he lead, till every foe is vanquished and Christ is Lord indeed. 413 on the second. Stand up for Jesus. Call, obey, for to the mighty conflict in this his glorious day. Ye that are men now serve him against unnumbered foes. Rise with danger and strength to strength oppose. Stand up for Jesus, stand in his strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you, ye dare not trust your own. Put on the gospel armor and watching unto prayer, where duty calls or danger, be never wanting there. Amen. All right, well, let's go ahead and take our bulletins. We'll look at some announcements real quickly this morning, and we'll just kind of go through the schedule of today. Of course, today is the second day of the Next Generation Youth Rally, and we are glad that you guys are with us. Of course, you're at the morning session right now, and we've got some things scheduled for you today, and of course, we're going to hear a sermon from the Word of God. And then when we're done here this morning, we're going to have lunch in the fellowship hall, all right? So you'll probably have some time to hang out, and then we'll meet in the fellowship hall at noon, and we'll have lunch there. And then after lunch, we're going to have games in the fellowship hall, so more competitions for the teams. Specifically, we're going to have two games. One is called Catch the Spirit, and we're actually going to play that in the ring, all right? So we'll have several kids go up in the wrestling ring, and we'll play Catch the Spirit. And then the second game is just going to be a group game, and everyone's going to be involved, and it's going to be Jeopardy. But it's going to be Jeopardy on teams, so it'll be one team versus the other team, and we'll have a good time with that. Around 2 p.m., we're going to finish the games. And that's going to give you about an hour to get to the bowling alley, all right? And the bowling alley, the address is there for you. And it's going to be a fun time. So you'll have about an hour to get to the bowling alley. We are scheduled to bowl from 3 to 5 p.m. And Brother Shaw is going to be the one that... Brother Shaw, you want to raise your hand so everybody kind of knows who Brother Shaw is. He's going to let you know what lane you're on, all right? So the teams have been divided, so that every lane has 5 kids on it, and it's going to be one team versus another team in lanes 1 and 2, one team versus another team, lanes 3 and 4, and so on. So when you bowl the games, as you win the games, every game is going to be worth 3,000 points. You're going to play more than one game, so every game you play, the team that wins gets 3,000 points, and every strike is 500 points, and every spare is 250 points. So even if your team loses the game, but you had a few strikes, you can still make some points during the game. Now, we rented the entire bowling alley. It's 16 lanes. 12 of those lanes are already just taken up by the teens. So that gives us 4 lanes that are open, and we're going to allow the parents of the teens, of the delegates, to be able to play in those 4 lanes. Obviously, there's not enough room for all of the parents to play. So if you brought your own bowling ball, then you are automatically allowed to bowl, all right? Because you obviously take this very seriously, so we want to make sure we let you bowl. And then also, you know, for the rest of it, I don't know, just kind of esteem each other better than yourselves, and we'll figure it out. But maybe we'll have a wrestling match to see who can bowl. But we'll figure it out at the bowling alley. Of course, want to make sure the kids get in their time for bowling. And then when bowling is done, we're scheduled to be done at 5 p.m. And then dinner is at 6 p.m. So, and you're going to be in Citrus Heights, which is, I don't know, like 20 minutes from here. So you just got to, it's right off the freeway, so it's not too far, but you're just going to want to think about that and figure out how to do that. We will have the church van available to give rides to the bowling alley, and then the church van will also be coming back from the bowling alley, and Brother Shaw will be driving the church van as well. But just realize that we're going to be done at 5, and then dinner is at 6 p.m. in the Fellowship Hall, Chick-fil-A sandwiches for dinner tonight, so make sure you're there for that. And then, of course, at 7 p.m., we have the evening service. After the evening service, we have the wrestling show and a cookie fellowship as well. Tonight at the evening service, we're going to be raffling off the scooter. We're going to be raffling off all sorts of different things for the evening service tonight. So just some real quick announcements for the adults. Don't forget that we do have the mother baby rooms available for your convenience. All of the rooms have comfortable seating in it. They've got monitors set up so you can watch the service and listen to it. So if you have a child who's been distracting during the service, if you need some privacy, we would encourage you to use those rooms as needed. For the teens, please make sure you're not hanging out in the mother baby rooms or the daddy rooms. They're just for mothers and babies, and of course the daddy room for fathers and babies. If you need to be baptized, please let us know, and just talk to one of the guys in the blue shirts, and we can get you situated for baptism tonight. And then, of course, if you have a cell phone, please make sure you have it on silent or turn it off so that it's not a distraction during the service. And I think that's it for all of the announcements.
And now, please welcome the winner of last night's wrestling match, Dwight Kidd.
Hey, wait. Stop the music. Hey, Dwight Kidd. Pastor Jimenez, I have an announcement to make.
Wait, Moses. Before you make your announcement, I think I know what you're going to say. And I think it might be better if the kids heard it from me. I have a confession to make. Can we cue the dramatic music? I need it to be a little more dramatic. That sounds good. Last night during the wrestling show, many of you noticed something about me that you'd never noticed before. And you noticed that I had a tattoo on my forearm. I realize you can't see it now, but you'll probably see it again tonight. And I just thought it'd be better if I just came clean and let you know that it is true, I have a checkered past. Many of you know that I was in the military, and, well, you know how that goes. So I just want this to be a lesson to all of the young people. Don't ever get a tattoo, because God may punish you and make you a wrestler. Thank you.
Okay, that is not what I was going to say.
But... Oh, really?
Yeah, well, but thank you, Pastor. I appreciate it.
Never mind then, never mind.
Yeah, okay. I'll forget about it. But anyway, of my announcement, I wanted to announce that I actually stayed up into the wee hours of the night last night reviewing the wrestling footage.
How late did you stay up till?
10:15. Calm down. Well, anyway, while I was staying up, you know, doing my official referee duty, where's our manager?
Right here.
Hey. Yeah, thanks for those cookies. I appreciate it. Yeah. But anyway, while I was staying up doing my official referee duties, I was reviewing the footage, and I actually realized something. And this might come as a shock to everyone. I know it's going to be a huge surprise. But no matter how sly or subtle you think your deceptions are, Dwight Kidd, I'm the referee, and I'm going to bring it to light. Dwight Kidd cheated!
Oh! It's true, Dwight Kidd. And now the referee knows what everyone who was watching the match last night already knew,
yep.
And pretty much the entire world already knew, that you are a cheater. This reminds me of a verse. The Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out.
Yeah, well, you know, thank you, Pastor. This actually reminds me of a verse as well. Cheaters never prosper.
That's not a verse in the Bible.
I'm pretty sure it is, but I'll let it slide. You're a pastor. Well, anyway, it reminds me of another verse. God works in mysterious ways.
That's not a verse in the Bible either.
Okay. Well, my last one, let go. You know, just let go and let God.
Please stop.
Okay. Well, anyways, Dwight Kidd, since you cheated, I have no choice but to disqualify you as the winner of last night's match.
And praise the Lord.
And Pastor Jimenez as the winner.
Wait, he cheated too.
How did he cheat?
Well, I don't think anybody saw this, but we were wrestling late last night into the wee hours of the night.
How long did you stay up to?
10:15. Anyways, while we were wrestling last night, when Pastor Jimenez saw that he prevailed not against me, a man showed up and he touched the hollow of my thigh.
And the hollow
of my thigh was out of joint.
Okay, Jacob.
No. He's Jacob. I'm Josh.
Okay, well, you know, anyway, since there's so many accusations of cheating, I have no choice but to announce a rematch. Tonight, after the evening service, there will be a no-holds-barred street rules. Anything goes. You can't cheat because you're encouraged to cheat. Championship match. I've also brought a contract that you guys can step up onto this podium and sign. So go ahead and do that right now.
So why do we have to sign a contract?
It's not really more of a contract as it is a release of liability waiver. That way, you can't sue the church just in case one of you gets hit by a steel banana or a metal chair or, you know, one of you gets thrown into that table specifically. But it's release of liability waiver.
Oh, okay. That sounds good.
Yeah. So go ahead. Go ahead. Start signing.
No.
Do you know how to use a pen?
He brought it around.
Mine.
Gold-plated. Yeah. Well, anyways. After you're done signing, pretty much all that's left is for you guys to shake on it.
There's no lint on the paper. What are you doing? This paper's gonna go on eBay for $50,000 someday.
Okay. Well, shake on it, please.
All right. Let's do it. But by the way, Pastor, good luck, because you're going to need it.
Do you know for sure if you died today if you're on your way to heaven? Because tonight, you're going to find out.
Are you okay? Do you need help?
I don't need help. I have money. Mark my words, my dad will be hearing about this.
Will Dwight Kidd be able to break the rules to win again when there are no rules to break? Will Pastor Jimenez be able to run out again and come back as a thinner, taller, younger wrestling athlete? Find out tonight at the last evening service of the Next Generation Youth Rally.
Okay, where is that voice coming from?
I don't know. It kind of sounds like the voice of God.
That's really weird. The voice of God sounds like Deacon Oliver.
Yeah.
All right, well, I'm sorry you guys had to witness that. Let's take our songbooks and go to page number 175. Page number 175. And we're going to sing It's Just Like His Great Love. 175, sing it out on the first. A friend I have called Jesus, whose love is strong and true, and never fails, howe'er 'tis strife, no matter what I do. I've sinned against this love of his, but when I knelt to pray, confessing all my guilt to him, the sin clouds rolled away. It's just like Jesus to roll the clouds away. It's just like Jesus to keep me day by day. It's just like Jesus all along the way. It's just like his great love. 175, sing it out on the second. Sometimes the clouds of trouble bedim the sky above. I cannot see my Savior's face. I doubt his wondrous love. But he from heaven's mercy seat, my despair in pity bursts the clouds between and shows me he is there. It's just like Jesus to roll the clouds away. It's just like Jesus to keep me day by day. It's just like Jesus all along the way. It's just like his great love. When or take me and break upon my head, when life seems worse than useless, and I were better dead, I take my grief to Jesus then, nor do I go in vain. For heavenly hope he gives that cheers like sunshine after rain. It's just like Jesus to roll the clouds away. It's just like Jesus to keep me day by day. It's just like Jesus all along the way. It's just like his great love. Could sing it out on the last. Oh, I could sing forever of Jesus' love divine, of all his care and tenderness for this poor life of mine. His love is in and over all. Waves obey when Jesus whispers, peace be still, and rolls the clouds away. It's just like Jesus to roll the clouds away. It's just like Jesus to keep me day by day. It's just like Jesus all along the way. It's just like his great love. Amen. All right. Well, at this time, we're going to have our deacon, Brother Oliver Gonzalez. He's going to preach for us. And remember, young people, we have questions after the sermon about the sermon. So make sure you're paying attention and you'll be able to earn some raffle tickets for tonight's raffle.
Man, please open your eyes to Exodus 24. Exodus chapter 24. If you need a Bible, just put your hand up and an usher can bring you a Bible. Exodus chapter 24. If you need a Bible, keep your hand up and an usher will come by. Exodus 24. We'll read the entire chapter as our custom. Exodus 24 being verse number 1. And he said unto Moses, come up unto the Lord, thou and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship ye afar off. And Moses alone shall come near the Lord, but they shall not come nigh, neither shall the people go up with him. And Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord, and all the judgments, and all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which the Lord hath said will we do. And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord, and rose up early in the morning, and builded an altar under the hill and 12 pillars, according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the children of Israel, which offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen unto the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. And he took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people. And they said, all that the Lord hath said will we do and be obedient. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold the blood of the covenant, which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words. Then went up Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and they saw the God of Israel. And there was under his feet as it were paved work of a sapphire stone, and as it were the body of heaven in his clearness. And upon the nobles of the children of Israel he laid not his hand. Also they saw God and did eat and drink. And the Lord said unto Moses, come up to me into the mount and be there, and I will give thee tables of stone and a law and commandments which I have written, that thou mayest teach them. And Moses rose up and his minister Joshua, and Moses went up into the mount of God. And he said unto the elders, tarry ye here for us until ye come again unto you. And behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man have any matters to do, let him come unto them. And Moses went up into the mount, and a cloud covered the mount. And the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud and got him up into the mount. And Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this morning, God. I thank you for this youth rally, God. And I thank you for all the teens that are present here, Lord. And I ask that you please do a work for us today as you've done yesterday as well. And I ask that you meet with us this morning, God. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So there in Exodus 24, we see, of course, one of the greatest men to ever walk the face of the earth. We see Moses leading the children of Israel through the wilderness to go to the promised land. And we see Moses doing what? He's leading his generation. See, Moses was the leader of that generation. But here in Exodus 24, we see someone else who at the time you and I can consider the next generation. And that person in this story is Joshua. Exodus 24, look at verse number 12 again. The Bible says, and the Lord said unto Moses, here we have God calling Moses to go up into Mount Sinai to receive the oracles of God. It says, the Lord said unto Moses, come up to me into the mount and be there, and I will give thee tables of stone and a law and commandments which I have written, that thou mayest teach them. And Moses rose up, verse 13, notice, and his minister Joshua. Here we have the Lord God calling the leader of that generation, the leader Moses. He's saying, come up to the mount. And here we see what? We see his minister Joshua. See, at this time, Joshua was the next generation, just like you. The generation that was to come after Moses. And this morning, I want to talk about this man, Joshua, and the heart of Joshua. And it is the heart that is needed for the next generation. See, if you think about this youth rally, you know, we have activities, we have games, we have things to excite you so you can have some fun. But all that, you have to remember, teens, all that is geared around the preaching of the Word of God. And all that's here is to do what? So that the Word of God can penetrate your heart. So that the preaching of the Word of God can go into your heart and it can do a work in your life. And here we see the heart of the next generation. And there's three things about this man, Joshua, I want to show you. And it is a heart that you ought to have as the next generation. You see, what is a heart for the next generation? Number one, a heart for the next generation is a heart to serve. Verse number 12, again, and the Lord said unto Moses, come up to me into the mount and be there. And I will give thee tables of stone and a law and commandments which I have written, that thou mayest teach them. See, Moses at the time, he was the one leading the charge. He was the one preaching the word of God. He was the one leading the people, doing the great works. But what do we see? Verse 13, and Moses rose up to do his thing. Notice, and his minister Joshua. You see, what is the heart that is needed for the next generation? A heart that is needed is a heart to serve. Here we have Joshua doing what? Just ministering unto Moses. You know, what is a minister? A minister is someone who attends to the needs of someone else. It's looking after or taking good care of, taking care of them. It's being a servant unto. And before Joshua became the great leader of that next generation, you know, what got him there? It was the fact that he had the heart of a servant. And you know, you ought to strive, teen, you know, decide in your heart that you would have a heart to serve other people, the heart of a servant. Ask God to give you a servant's heart. He plays here in Exodus 24, but go to Matthew, or go to Philippians 2, if you have Philippians chapter number 2. You see, what is a heart for the next generation? A heart for the next generation is a heart to serve. You go to Philippians chapter number 2. And while you go there, in Matthew 20, verse 28, the Lord Jesus Christ said this. He says, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto. You see, what is the purpose of our Savior coming to this earth? Did he come for himself, to glorify himself, to live for self? It's all about me, me, me. No, he said, the purpose, the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto. He didn't come here for himself, to please himself, to do whatever he wanted to do, to live a selfish life. No, it says, but to minister. Notice, and to give his life a ransom for many. You see, our Savior came to this earth not for the sole purpose of living for self. And look, we've heard the preaching throughout the conference that we live in a world that is focused on self. It's all about me. What can I get? How can you serve me? Mommy gave me this. Daddy gave me this. I want this. We complain because we don't get what we want. But we see the purpose of the Savior. He came here not to live for self. No, it's to live for others. And you got to have a heart, young teen, to live your life for the purpose of other people. Philippians 2, look verse number 7. Notice the heart of the Savior. It says, but made himself, notice, of no reputation. And look, and what are teens worried about today? They're worried about their reputation, right? How they look, how they're perceived. But, you know, think about just human history. You know, who in history has had the biggest impact outside of the Lord Jesus Christ? God in the flesh came to this earth. He has the best reputation of all. But notice, when he came to this earth, it says he made himself of no reputation. Notice, and took upon him how? The form of a servant, and was made like into the likeness of men. You see, what is the heart that is needed for the next generation? And it is a heart to serve. And as a teen, look, you ought to have a heart to minister to other people. And this must be a theme because, you know, yesterday at the park, this is the main point of Pastor Jimenez, that you don't want to live a life that is all self-absorbed, that it's all about you, and you're going to live a life that's miserable if you do that. But when you choose to live for others, to minister unto others, to help others, look, that will bring you purpose in your life. You know, something our pastor always says is that when you live for self, at the end of the day, all you will have is yourself. And nobody wants to live like that, where it's all about me. Look, that you gotta just decide, you know what? I'm not gonna worry about my reputation. I wanna make myself of no reputation. I'm gonna esteem others better than myself. Be a minister unto other people. And look, there's areas that you can serve as a teen. Look, if you're a teenager, look, you're strong. You have strength. In your youth, you're strong. Look, you gotta use that strength for the service of God. And realize, look, if you go to church, you gotta just serve in church. Find somewhere where you can serve and be a blessing to your pastor, to your church. Look, join the ministry. Join the choir. Join the orchestra. Join the cleaning crew. Join the prison ministry. Whatever they have, look, anyone can serve. You see, what's greatness? Look, greatness in the kingdom of God is when you serve other people. The greatest are those who are the servants. So decide as a teen, look, if you want to live a life of purpose, and look, all this is to do what? The whole youth rally is so that we can penetrate your heart. And look, in your heart, just decide to have a servant's heart. And look, we call ourselves Christian and praise the Lord for it. Let's be like Christ and make ourselves of no reputation, where our life is actually not just to please ourselves and to live for ourselves. Look, our life is for other people. So look, you got to just find an area in your life to serve. See, a heart for the next generation is a heart to serve. And a heart to serve ministers to other people. But not just that, a heart to serve cares for other people. Look, teen, you got to just take the time to give your care, to give your affection to the right people, to the right things. And look, there is a battle today, teenager, to win your heart. There is a battle to win your heart. Like, the devil wants to take your heart unto himself so he can destroy your heart. And he puts things in front of you that you can lust after, that you can go after, but all that is meant to destroy you. Look, all that's in the world, it's just the lust of the world, it's all filth to God. And just realize that there's a battle for your heart. To decide, you know what? I'm going to have a heart to serve others. I'm going to care, give my affection to other people. Go to Numbers 11, if you would. Numbers chapter 11. And we see the heart of a servant, Joshua. A man who was willing to do what? To minister unto Moses. But not just that, we see Joshua actually caring for other people. Because look, you can serve, but your heart cannot be in it. But you see, Joshua's heart, he cared for Moses. He cared for other people. Numbers 11, look verse number 27. And in Numbers 11, we have the Lord taking the spirit that was upon Moses and resting it upon 70 of the elders of the children of Israel. But notice the story in Numbers 11, verse 27. It says, and there ran a young man and told Moses and said, Eldad and Medad do prophesy in the camp. You know, you think about that. Well, that's a good thing. You know, they're preaching the word of God. That's a good thing. But notice in verse 28, the heart of Joshua. And Joshua, the son of Nun, notice, the servants of Moses. It says, notice, one of his young men. You know, I don't know how many young men Moses had to minister unto him. But you know what? Joshua was just one. Joshua was just one who had the right heart, who was a minister, he was a servant. But notice what this young man, Joshua, tells Moses. Answered and said, notice, my Lord Moses forbid them. And Moses said unto him, enviest thou for my sake? Would God that all Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit upon them. And here we have, you know, Joshua kind of getting a little bit upset. They're saying, look, Moses, look, these people, they're preaching the word of God. You know, you got to just stop them, forbid them, Moses, because they're doing your job. You know, at the time, you know, Joshua was a little overly zealous at the time. But you know what? I appreciate the heart of Joshua. You know, in this story, we see that Joshua earnestly cared for Moses. He had his affection. He appreciated him. And yeah, he was overly zealous. But you know what? It shows us that Joshua, he actually cared. And he wanted to help Moses. He was there. His heart was with Moses, willing to help him, to minister unto him. And look, when you live for others, teenager, look, you got to give the right people your affection. You know, and I can appreciate this. You know, when somebody attacks, you know, your parents, that should make you upset. It should bother you when people want to attack your parents, when they're criticizing them. And look, teenager, don't you be the one criticizing your parents. And think about how heartbreaking would that be. Your parents who love you, who raised you, who paid for you to be here, who bought your food, who bought your clothes, who bought everything you have. It's amazing to me how teenagers, you know, they get to this certain age in their life when they think somehow everything's just owed to them. And yet that, like, did you buy your own food? You know, it's like, did you clothe yourself? Did you raise yourself? Did you buy your own cell phone? Did you get your shoes? Whatever you have, look, all of it, your parents worked hard for you. And you got to give them your affection. You got to give them your love. And you see the heart of Joshua, you know, and I appreciate this in Joshua. The fact that, you know what, yeah, he might have been overly zealous, but you know what? His heart, I believe, was in the right place. He cared for him. You know, even last night with the wrestling match, you know, Pastor Jimenez was doing his thing in there, right? And, you know, my three-year-old daughter, she was devastated. My three-year-old thought that her pastor was getting hurt in that ring. And the tears were coming down, and she was just devastated. She couldn't bear to watch. And, you know, I thought to myself, you know what, praise the Lord. That, you know what, she has a heart for her pastor. That she's upset that somebody's hurting him. But you know what? Look, teenager, look, you ought to give your affection to the right people. Look, teenager, your parents ought to know that you're there for them, that you love them. And you got to, you know, do your parents know, teenager, that they have your heart? You know, your parents do everything for you. Look, you got to show them appreciation. And as we heard yesterday, look, tell them thank you. Tell them I love you. Tell them I appreciate that. And show them how by being there to serve them. Because look, what is a child? You know, when a baby's born, they don't take care of themselves. They need the milk. They need mom and dad to do everything for them. But look, when you get to those 13, 14, 15, look, you want to start being an adult. You want to start getting some respect. Look, transition from being a baby, a child who needs constant care, to being someone who can take care of themselves and then serve other people. So just decide in your heart, teenager, to be a servant. Ephesians 4:32, the Bible says, and be kind one to another. It says tender-hearted. You know, tender-hearted means that your heart breaks. And so, like, your heart ought to break for your parents, teenager, who've done everything for you. Look, your church should have your heart. You ought to earnestly care for your church. And you know, when your church family's hurting, look, you should hurt too. When they're rejoicing, hey, let's rejoice with them. Just be there. Give them your heart. And look, we live in a day where people are just unappreciative, living for self. 2 Timothy 3:1, the Bible says, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. And look, this describes the world. Look at the world. This describes the world that we live in. Living for just lovers of their own selves. They take pictures, but who is it of? It's just of themselves. Let me see how I look. The selfie, the eye, it's all me, just living for self. Look, teenager, that ought not to be the testimony of a Christian. It says, men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. It says, unthankful. It's funny that how those two things go hand in hand. Disobedient to parents and unthankful. And look, teenager, look, realize that your parents, your pastor, your pastor's wife, people around you, they've invested in you. They've helped you. Look, you got to give the right people your affection. And realize, look, that there's a devil out there who wants to take your heart and give it to the world and give it to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, and those things will destroy your life. But we see Joshua doing what? Caring for Moses. Upset about the fact that Moses might be getting hurt. We see the heart of his servants. Go, if you would, to Exodus 17. You see, what is a heart needed for the next generation? A heart for the next generation is a heart to serve. Not only that, but number two, a heart for the next generation is a heart to fight. A heart for the next generation is a heart to fight. Look, teenager, you ought to get some fight in you. And decide, you know what, I'm ready and willing to fight. And look, people naturally have this in them. You say, how do you know? Because like people just get mad for whatever thing. It's like they're always just angry. You can't look at somebody for like 2 seconds without them saying, what are you looking at? Like, why are you mugging me? You know? It's like you can't just like talk to people because everyone's just angry. Everyone's just ready for a fight. But you know what? You ought to get some fight in you too, Christian. And realize, look, that the Christian life is a fight. Exodus 17, look at verse number 8. It says, then came Amalek, notice, and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And what's amazing is that, you know, this is the first time that we see Joshua's name ever mentioned in the Bible. It says, then came Amalek, notice, and fought. And just get this in your head, teenager. The life is a fight. The Christian life is a fight. And look, there's a fight right now going on for your attention, trying to wake you up. So you can pay attention and open your eyes. And just, it's funny how like, yeah, life is fun and easy and it's all fun and games when mommy and daddy are paying the bills. It's all fun and easy when mommy and daddy are providing the food. It's all fun and easy when you have pastor and pastor's wife doing everything for you, serving you hand and foot. But you know what? If it's like teenager, if you want to be an adult, then you know what? Go pay your mortgage. And let's see how hard life gets. Raise a child for the Lord. And let's see how hard life gets. And look, realize, like, all this is to prepare you for the fight. Because, look, there is a fight. The Bible says in Psalm 144:1, blessed be the Lord my God, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. You know, on Sunday night, you know, pastor preached a sermon called The Next Generation. And in that sermon, he said, we must prepare the next generation to fight. You see, what are we doing? We're having a great time with the games. And have a great time. Get in the jump houses. You know, go bowling. Have fun. But look, realize that the preaching of the word of God comes from a man of God who's fought the battles, who's been there for you. They're trying to prepare you. They're trying to train you. Why? Because, look, life is hard. And the Christian life is a fight. And it's going to come. In verse number 9, and Moses said unto Joshua, notice, again, the first time he's mentioned in the Bible. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men. He said, go out. He said, fight with Amalek. You know, I don't know why Moses chose Joshua. It says that Joshua was just one of his young men. Moses could have chosen anyone. But I wonder if it's because he saw some zeal in Joshua. He saw some fight. He saw a young man ready and willing to fight for the Lord. He said, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And look, Chris, teenager, you got to just decide, I'm going to fight for the faith. Decide, look, I'm going to fight for lost souls. Because look, there's a battle, there's a war going on. People are dying and going to hell. People are constantly attacking our churches. There's a fight against Christianity. You may not see it, but it's out there. And just get the mindset, look, I'm ready for a fight. Look, there's a fight for your purity. The devil wants to corrupt your mind. You got to just learn to flee fornication. and decide today I'm going to be pure until the day that I'm married. Walk up to the altar as a virgin. Why? Because like there's a fight to destroy your life. And just decide, you know what, I'm willing to get in the fight. Go if you want to Jude 1, Jude chapter 1, number 1. In 1 Timothy 6:12, the Bible says, fight the good fight of faith. It says fight. Sounds like a command. Like, fight the good fight of faith. You go to Jude. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and has professed a good profession before many witnesses. 2 Timothy 4:7, the Bible says, Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And look, realize this. Look, Joshua at this time, he was that next generation. And here we have Moses leading the people. God's giving him the faith. And Moses' job is to teach them. Teach that next generation. Prepare them for the battle. And look, that's what we're doing. The faith that has been given unto us, we are giving it unto you. And it is your job to continue that fight. Jude 1, verse 3, the Bible says in verse 3, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith, which was, notice, once delivered unto the saints. You know that faith? You know, you see these great men of God. You see Pastor Jimenez, Pastor Anderson, Pastor Brzezinski preaching the word of God. But look, that faith, it didn't just come from them. That faith was delivered unto them. It was given unto them, and they have chosen to do what? To take up the battle, to take the word of God, preach the word of God, fight for your purity, fight for your minds, fight for your heart, fight for the faith, fight for lost souls. And look, that's what we're delivering unto you, the faith, so that you can take up that battle for us as well. Because look, one day Moses won't be there, Joshua. One day your parents aren't going to be there. One day the next generation will have to rise afterwards. And it has to, the battles have to be fought. So decide to earnestly contend for the faith. Go back to Exodus 17. Exodus chapter 17. You see, what is a heart for the next generation? It's a heart to fight. And you see, look, I'm just one teenager. What can I do? Well, look, Joshua was just one servant. He was just one young man. One servant just deciding to have what? To have some heart in his life. To have a fight in him. Exodus 17, notice verse 13. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for memorial in a book, notice, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. Like after the battle was over, you know, God says, you know what? I don't want you to forget this fight. I want you to write what happened, write it in a book, and then do what? And rehearse it. Remind Joshua of the fight. You see why? Because look, because the fight is coming again. And realize, look, teenager, the battles that have been fought in the past against the filth, against the sodomites, look, against whatever the devil has thrown at us, look, that fight is coming again. But look, guess what? Moses won't be there. And God wants to make sure that, you know what? Remind Joshua of the battles that have happened. Why? Because look, the battles will come to you. And look, you ought to be ready. Look, the Bible says you ought to be sober. You ought to be vigilant. Why? Because the devil as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And one thing, if you watch animal shows, one thing you know about lions is that they always seek the weak. They seek those who are falling behind. They're seeking the babies. They want the easy pickings. And look, right now, teenager, you may not realize it, but look, you may not see the fight. Why? Because look, you have a mom and a dad who are fighting for you. You may not see the fight because look, you have a pastor and a pastor's wife. You have people who are older than you who are fighting those battles for you. But one day they won't be there. And so you got to just decide in your mind, in your heart, you know what? I'm going to learn to fight. I'm going to prepare. I'm going to read the word of God. I'm going to pray. I'm going to make sure that I'm right with God. I'm going to fight for lost souls. And just prepare yourself to be that next generation, to carry on that torch, to fight that good fight of faith. You see, what is a heart for the next generation? It is a heart to serve, to live for others. What is a heart for the next generation? It is a heart to fight. And lastly, what is a heart for the next generation? It is a heart for God. Go to Exodus 33. Go to Exodus chapter 33. You got to have a heart for God, teenager. And, you know, in Exodus 33, you know, when you read about Joshua, there's a lot of exciting things about Joshua to talk about. I mean, you could talk about the walls of Jericho. You could talk about all the battles through the book of Joshua. There's a lot to talk about Joshua. But in here in this passage, You know, this one short phrase that really sticks out to me the most about Joshua, who at this time is that next generation. He's not yet leading the charge. But in Exodus 33, look at what it says in verse number 8. It says, "And it came to pass when Moses went out into the tabernacle that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door." Notice, "and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle." You have all the people just, when Moses goes in, they're just watching Moses. Verse 9, "And it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshiped every man in his tent door." And look at verse number 11. It says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend." You know, I don't know about you, but I would have loved to have been Moses. And, you know, to be there, just to be someone who God can say to you, say to me, look, he's speaking to you as face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And look, we can have that today in the Word of God. When you can read the Word of God, and God can penetrate your heart if you were to just allow him to. And we just pray to God, say, God, just please speak to my heart. Let the Word of God penetrate and let it change your life. But notice what it says. It says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp." And notice this phrase that God just has to throw in about Joshua. It says, "But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle." And it's amazing, but you know, all the people are mentioned. What's everyone doing? They're just at their tent door, just watching Moses go in and go out. And you know, this passage to me really shows the heart of Joshua. And it shows that Joshua had a heart for God. And we see Joshua doing what? Moses goes in, he's talking to God. He walks out. The people go back into their tents. But what does Joshua do? Joshua just stands there. Joshua says, you know what? Where shall I go? God is here. God is talking to Moses. And we see the heart of Joshua just, I want to be where God is. And like teenage, you got to just decide to have this heart for God. To say, you know what, in my life, I'm going to be where God wants me to be. And look, I believe Joshua loved God's people. I mean, he's fighting for them. He might die against the Amalekites. He's putting his neck on the line. I'm sure he loved Moses. But you know, when it comes to a heart for God, you got to just decide, you know what, God is going to have the preeminence in my life. That, you know what, wherever God is, that's where I'm going to be. Look, get this mindset. Look, if people come and go in your life, just decide in your mind and your heart, look, I want to be where God wants me to be. I want to be in the will of God. And just have a heart for God. Because if there's one thing that God wants from you, teenager, it's your heart. He wants you to love him. He wants you to have a passion for him. And decide, you know what, I'm just not going to depart out of God. And we see Joshua just not willing to go anywhere. Wherever God is, you know what, that's where I'm going to be. Deuteronomy 6:5, the Bible says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might." You know, a prayer for the next generation ought to be, you know what, we pray that this next generation has a heart for God. That God will look down at his people and say, you know what, these people, they have my heart. And if God has your heart, Christian, yeah, you'll live for other people. If God has your heart, look, you'll do whatever God wants you to do. You'll be able to fight those battles, to help serve others, to win lost souls, but just decide to have a heart for God. You see, what is a heart that is needed for the next generation? It is a heart for God. Go, if you would, to Joshua 24, if you would, Joshua 24. So number one, a heart for the next generation is a heart to serve. Number two, a heart for the next generation is a heart to fight. And lastly, a heart for the generation is a heart for God. You go into Joshua 24, but in Numbers 27, I just want to read this for you. In Numbers 27, here we have God just choosing Joshua to be the successor, to be that next leader. You're in Joshua 24, but in Numbers 27, verse 18, the Bible says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, take thee Joshua, the son of Nun. It says, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thy hand upon him." You see, God chose Joshua to be that next generation leader. You say, why was it? I think it's because he had a heart to serve, because he had a heart to fight. And God knew, you know what, this person has my heart. See, his heart was ready for what God had for him in life. And look, teenager, you have the rest of your life ahead of you. And the reality is, look, you can have all these plans in your mind, but look, you have no idea what your life's going to look like in 10 years. And look, you got to just decide, you know what, I'm going to prepare myself today. By how? By serving other people. Getting involved. Giving the right people your affection. By getting in the right fight. Choosing to fight for the Christian life. Choosing to fight for lost souls. Fight for your purity. Fight for yourselves. Fight for each other. Fight for your brethren. And decide, you know what, God's going to have my heart. And in Joshua 24, we see the end of the life of Joshua. But I want to point this out because here we have Joshua already at the end of his ministry. He's about to pass away, get off the scene. And he's speaking to the next generation. Famous passage of verse 15. Joshua speaking to the generation that is to come after him. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, he asks this question. He says, choose you this day whom you will serve. You know, if Joshua was here today, he'd ask you the same thing, teenager. He'd say, you know what, make a choice. And like, you got to just make a choice in your mind and your heart. It says, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. He said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That is a question you got to just ask yourself, answer for yourself. Make that choice and choose in this youth rally. You know what? I'm going to serve. I'm going to love the Lord. I'm going to serve others. I'm going to fight the good fight of faith. Make that choice, Christian, teenager. And look, you don't know what God has for you, but you got to prepare yourself today for that next generation. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning, God. I thank you for your word and for all the teenagers that are here. I pray that you be with them, Lord, as they grow up to serve you, to live for you, and to be able to one day take up the baton and fight that good fight of faith, dear God. Lord, I thank you for this conference, and for everyone that's here, we love you. In Jesus' name, pray. Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, great sermon, Deacon Oliver. Thank you very much. Okay, let's go ahead and ask some questions. I am not going to go based off who gets their hand up first, because it seems like some of you have some really good skills with that, all right? So I'm just going to ask questions and try to just give other people a chance, even if your hand-eye coordination is not the greatest, all right? So here's the first question. This question is going to go to Spartacus, all right? See if somebody in Spartacus knows this question. Who was the next generation for Moses? Go ahead. Joshua, got it. All right. You want to give him? Okay, let's give him a ticket there. All right. All right. This question is for Attilius. What was the first thing, the first point mentioned in the sermon that is needed from the next generation, a heart to serve? Go ahead. All right. I gave you the answer. Good night. You're smart. Give her a ticket. Okay. I'm not having a good day. At least I didn't go through a table. Okay, let's ask this team. Who took upon him the form of a servant? Jesus. All right. The Lord Jesus Christ. Got it? All right. What question am I on? I'll try not to give you the answer this time. What was the second point mentioned in the sermon that is needed? A heart to fight. All right. Go for it. Good. All right. What was the third thing mentioned? Go ahead. A heart for God. All right. Praise the Lord. I think that's it. So we got one of the twins. I still, after a decade, still don't know which one's which. So, okay. All right. Well, that's it for the tickets. One thing for the questions. One thing we are going to do, we want to make sure tonight we're going to raffle off. So we do want everyone to have their name at least one time in the raffle. So when we're done with the service this morning, make sure everybody, all the teenagers, just the teens, not the adults, just the teens, see Brother Shaw, and so that everybody gets at least one ticket. So we want you to at least have one chance to win something from the raffle tonight. So just see Brother Shaw. Brother Shaw, raise your hand after the morning session here, and we'll make sure that everyone gets at least one ticket to put into the raffle bowl. And I'm not sure where the raffle bowl, oh, it's right here. So make sure everybody write your name legibly. Write your name legibly and put it into the raffle bowl there, the container, so that we can get you some things raffled off tonight. Okay, so it is 11. We're going to go ahead and sing a song to dismiss the service. And then after that, we're going to have lunch at noon. So let's go ahead and go to page number 355. Page number 355. What a friend we have in Jesus. Let's go ahead and sing it out on the first. 355. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. 355, sing it out on the second. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there. Amen. All right, good singing. So we're going to go ahead and dismiss with a word of prayer. Like I said, it's 11, so you'll have some time to just hang out. And, of course, if you want to go get coffee or whatever, you're welcome to do that. Lunch is at noon. We might start a little early, depending on how the ladies are doing in the fellowship hall, but we'll announce that if we do that. But we're scheduled to have lunch at noon in the fellowship hall, games at 1, and then bowl-a-thon at 3 p.m. Let's go ahead and bow our heads and have a word of prayer, and we'll be dismissed this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for this youth conference, Lord, and we thank you for the great sermon this morning. And, Lord, I do pray that these young people would consider the things that were said to them, Lord, and what every adult in this room wants is for these kids to serve you, for them to give their hearts to you, for them to grow up and to raise up as the next generation to carry on the faith and the fight. And Lord, we pray that you would help these kids to get that, help minister to their hearts, that the Holy Spirit would convince them of that, Lord, and that we might be able to rise up a great generation that would serve you with their lives. We love you. In the matchless name of Christ, we pray. Amen. All right. God bless you. You are dismissed. Lunch at noon.